Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go. Wherever you happen to be, wherever you're traveling, we're so grateful to have you with us in this time. Today, we look at another resurrection story as we continue in the season of Eastertide. And this is one of my favorites. It comes from John chapter 21, the story of Jesus kind of rehabilitating or forgiving Peter after Peter's threefold denial of Jesus. So we'll look at John 21 today. But before we do that, let us prepare our hearts for the word that will be presented to us as we listen to our morning's anthem, offered to us by our very own Jenny Dalba.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
The Gospel of John is so rich that it is sometimes best to zero in on a small section of it, and that is what we will do today with John 21, 15 through 17. But the layers of these verses are dependent on earlier sections of the gospel and the story that leads up to them. So let's spend a minute recalling the events just prior to today's lesson. Like us, the disciples are not too far from the roller coaster events of Holy Week in Jerusalem, and then the days following that of appearances first to Mary, then to the 12, and then Thomas. The story of Jesus in John here seems to be ending, and so the disciples return to their former lives in Galilee. Peter and some of the disciples go fishing and return to the shore to find that far from ending, the story of Jesus is beginning a new chapter. Jesus is there on the shore, different but the same, cooking their breakfast, advising them how to catch abundant fish, and, as ever, teaching them how to live. John 21, 15 through 17. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Poor Peter. It is not easy being a disciple of the Son of God. And there has been a lot to swallow in such a short time. Jesus' betrayal, arrest, the overnight trial, and then the crucifixion of their teacher, the empty tomb, and the amazing appearances, the receiving by Jesus of breath of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is somehow alive, and that is uncomprehendingly wonderful. But now what? It's not as though he is back and living with them and telling them where they will go each day, what they will do. So Peter, maybe just being practical in this moment of uncertainty, decides to go fishing. Only 6 of the disciples choose to join Peter, and this is perhaps a sign of the already fraying sense of community. Peter makes their count 7, though, and 7 is the biblical number of completeness. So even diminished in number, they are, the story seems to say, enough. Jesus works with whomever shows up. At first, they catch no fish, but when they follow the advice of the initially unrecognized Jesus, an abundant catch results. 153 fish, in fact, the text tells us. There are theories on why 153 exactly. For sure, one meaning is that there is more than plenty for the disciples. Another thing about this episode that we can say is that Jesus seems to have thought the disciples, and in particular Peter, could use one more visit to fully grasp what has happened and to grasp the way forward. I use the word way here very deliberately. Jesus says to them earlier in the gospel, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The path Jesus walked, the way, is the one now they, as disciples, are to follow. They need this visit to grasp their way forward. Maybe we all do. Jesus, having cooked their breakfast on a charcoal fire, And the charcoal fire here would have been an important memory jog for Peter. The last one he stood beside was outside the high priest house when Jesus was being tried. So Jesus cooked the fish on this charcoal fire, and when he took the bread, he broke it and gave it to the disciples. And the same with the fish, calling to their minds the feeding of the 5,000, and the way Jesus took the role of a servant in the last dinner they shared before the crucifixion. These are the things he wants imprinted on their minds and hearts. Peter has more to remember than the rest. Jesus pulls Peter aside and asks that trinity of questions, reminding him even more of the last time he was around a charcoal fire. It was then he denied his discipleship three times. As Jesus was being interrogated by the high priest, Peter was also questioned three times by curious crowds. "Aren't you his disciple?" "I am not. I am not. No." Three times now Jesus asks him to reclaim it. "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" "Yes? Then you are my disciple. Be one." Here again, Jesus alludes to an earlier teaching he wants to indwell in Peter, that of the Good Shepherd. "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." These are beautiful, poetic words. This is not, though, a romantic notion. Shepherding is demanding work, long hours, rough terrain. Tending sheep means finding them pasture to graze in clear water, keeping them safe from predators and other danger, making sure they all get in the gate, no stragglers left behind. This is the illustration Jesus chooses as his last word for Peter, on whom he depends to carry the mission forward. The way the shepherd tends the flock is the model for the care of the world, the way Jesus' disciples should care for the world. I got to know such a shepherd this year. Her name is Zulma Zabala, and she and her church, Primera Iglesia Bautista de Rio Piedras, have absorbed Jesus' teaching on shepherding in a way that was quite amazing for our adult mission group to comprehend. When Hurricane Maria hit in 2017, their community was devastated. The church invited a community leadership group in to devise a plan. Someone in that group had a connection to quantities of food. The church had a kitchen and a generator. Church volunteers came in that day and began cooking and serving and did not take a break until 19,000 meals later, when all the hungry sheep had been fed. At the same time, there were 125 Red Cross volunteers who needed a place to stay. So the church said, "We have space in the sanctuary. Let's push the pews aside, set up cots. They can stay here." These sheep stayed for 3 weeks. The church fed them, housed them, and tended their other needs, like transportation. As the local area began to stabilize with regard to food, the church looked to shepherding beyond their immediate community and determined the most pressing need to be new roofs. Puerto Rico was a sea of blue tarps where the roofs had been ripped off by hurricane winds, leaving houses to be drenched with rain. By the end of 2019, they had swapped out 450 blue tarps using volunteer groups. Things were starting to get back to normal at the church when COVID hit. The church met to discuss. Along with the many problems of COVID, the children were out of school and most of the students had no internet at home. Church leadership decided, well, we have internet, these lambs need it, we could push the pews aside again. So they did. And for the better part of a year, students came and sat spaced in the sanctuary and did their online schooling. They also invited in student teachers from nearby University of Puerto Rico who needed their practicum work. They raised money to purchase 150 laptops and tablets so students could do their homework. A side note here, 150 is also about the size of this amazing congregation. And the church, the fish caught in Galilee, remember? There has to be a connection here, don't you think? Maybe whether, depending on context, we find this a big or a small number, it is more than enough. In addition to helping the Lambs with school during COVID, the church's small but mighty kitchen crew returned. They worked with the community to develop a drive-through for volunteers to take food to the homeless on the island. No lost sheep for this church. The first day I ever spoke to Zulma was the day after Fiona hit. The church was, as you may have guessed, once again in the kitchen. And when I called her last week to verify some details in this story, laughing, Zulma told me the power was out and had been for a couple of days. Oh, by the way, over Easter weekend. It was very hot and humid, but the church was cool thanks to their generator. They managed all the extra Easter services they'd planned, and in addition, decided to shelter the flock of international students stuck at the university in sweltering dorms. The amazing thing is that Zulma always seems energized and eagerly looking forward to the next way to help. I think we shouldn't be surprised, though. According to reams of research on what leads to happiness, always at or near the top are good relationships or community and a sense of purpose. It seems that shepherding is as good for the shepherd as it is for the sheep. During our mission trip there, we found this to be true. The last evening was a joyous celebration of our purpose-driven week and the relationships we formed with each other and with our new friends. Jenny Martins turned to me as we ended and said, "I think this is what life is supposed to be like." I think Jesus would say amen to that. So what say you, New Canaan sheep? Do we heed our Master's voice and the call to become shepherds like him? Because the call echoes still. Church family, do you love me? Feed and shelter my sheep here and in Kenya and in Bridgeport. Church family, do you love me? Keep my lamb safe. Address gun violence and all violence and its underlying causes. Church family, do you really love me? If you love me, remember I came because God so loved all the world. If you love me, tend my sheep no matter color, gender, country, religion, health, intelligence, or status. Open the gate for them all. I came and come that they might have life and have it abundantly. This is who I am, the caregiver, the justice seeker, the lover. If you really love me, that is who you are too. New Canaan Church, Shepherds on the Hill, I called you for a purpose. Go, do, love, love, love. Amen. Holy One, it is our honor and joy that you consider us to be your shepherds. Help us to walk that way which you showed us long ago, and lead us on still. In your name we pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.